that because they don't know the scripture and they don't know their Bible the way that they're supposed to know, they are speaking garbage into the wind. A fellow called me, he said, I need help. I said, I know somebody who can help you. I cannot provide for my family. I asked this person, can I lead you to Christ? Oh, I'm saved. Well, I don't know from what you're saved. But people who are saved will never say, I cannot provide for my family. And who is that? Because it is on the Word of God. And the reprogramming takes place because we are watching so much TV. He goes again. Yes, I'll go again and I'll hit on this until the day I die. We are listening to so many garbage out there that the last thing that we fail to pay attention to is the Word of God. Did you know that when somebody says that he or she cannot provide for his family, they are actually sinning? Let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8. Brother, if you give me the King, the New King James to start with, it would be great. You don't have to take my words for granted. Read it over there. But if anyone... Why then we have church of people saying that he cannot or she cannot provide for their family? Because they don't know their God. Because they don't know the promises in the Word. I'm not making enough. Then you're living on the wrong house. You're living on the wrong neighborhood. Well, I thought you were saying that God wants the best for us. He does want the best for us. But guess what? You do not get 5 talents unless the Lord knows that you are able to hand 5 talents. When God went out distributing the gifts to people, he gave to one fellow 5, to 1, 2, and to the other one. Isn't that right? He knew that the fellow who got 5 would go out and win another 5. The one who got 2 will go out and win another 2. But the useless one, and I'm not calling him useless out of myself, God called him useless servant. He got 1, and that very one he dug in and he covered up. So if you want to be living in a $1 million home and you cannot give a tithe on $10 an hour job, you will never make for $50 an hour job. Now, that's when people come and say, I can't provide for my family, preacher. The economy, it's not the economy, it's in you. And when somebody say that they cannot provide for themselves or for their family, the Bible says that he has denied the faith. Why? Because our faith tells us, Philippians 4:8, my God, all my needs, according to, do y'all see how much messed up people are nowadays? Then there was another call coming through. A woman said, I've got your number for one of my neighbors. How may I pray for you, ma'am? Do you help people with money? It's not a lot. I said, I'm scrapping the barrel right now. Boo. Didn't even let me finish. When I tried to call, it was blocked. So now I'm going to install a feature in our phone. If your line is blocked, your call is not coming through. Done. Then I got another one, say, preacher, I am an elder and such. I'm a prophet. And I was also a deacon. And I've been an evangelist. Brother, get to the chase. Cut to the chase. How can I pray for you? Well, preacher, right now I'm not able to supply for my family. I said, oh, boy, here we go again. I said, can I lead you to Christ, sir? Excuse me? Can I lead you to Christ? Excuse me! I am evangelist! So, Mr. Evangelist, you are denying your faith. He goes, how dare you talk to me like this? How dare you call me here? If you are an evangelist, I want you to go to 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8. Go study that scripture. He hung up on me too. Are you beating us up this morning, preacher? No, I'm not. I'm reprogramming you. Please, don't you ever, 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 ever dare to open your lips to say, I cannot provide for myself, I cannot provide for my family. Because if you do this, you are agreeing with the devil and you are denying your faith. Preacher, I cannot pay my rent this month. You either have to pray a little bit more or you have to move out of your neighborhood. Folks, when we are walking a godly walk, there is no way that the end of the month will come and I'm not going to be able to pay my rent. When I am doing what I'm supposed to do, there's no way. We're going to come back here. Brother Harry, can you give me Psalms 37:23? There is no way when you and I are walking the walk that we're going to be lingering around sick with pain and all bent out of shape, all messed up. It's denying our faith. It's denying the very things that we believe. 37:23. What does it say here? The steps of a good man are ordered by the light. This guy, you know, have his step put together by God. And when they walk, there was a step that God has placed for them. God will find delight on that person. How in the world then can you tell me that you cannot provide for yourself, you cannot provide for your family? And the bad about this is church people are doing this. And Paul said, when you do this, you are worse than the unbeliever. And you have denied your faith. Are we together so far? So what you're saying, preacher, you should never say, today I'm starting backward. You should never say, I cannot provide for my own. I cannot provide for my family. Because when you do that, you're denying this scripture here. You deny Philippians 4:8. And you're worse than an infidel. Are we together here? So tell your neighbor, I'm going to pay all my bills on time. Brother, give me this thing here on the New Living Translation. I'm curious now. How did it? Ooh, I like this. The Lord, what? Are you a godly? So God is directing your step. Do you think that God's going to direct your step not to be able to pay your rent? Or any of your payments? And he goes on to say, he, my Lord, you're not listening. He delights in every detail of your life. So saying that I cannot pay my bills, or I cannot care for my family, is absurd, to say the least. I wonder what the Message Bible say. I didn't check because I was so stalwart walks in step with God. His path blazed by God. He's happy, whatever. So, lesson number one today, reprogramming. I will never say, I can't provide for myself and my family. Say with me, I will never say, I cannot provide for myself and for my family. Because the steps of a righteous man are ordered by God. Number two, second reprogramming for the day. Again, the calls flooding in. There is a usual suspect that calls here from Jackson, Mississippi, every single month, twice a month. And every time the call comes in, it's a different type of prayer. And then finally, I said, you know, it's time for you to stop fooling around and stop playing with sin. Excuse me? I said, my Lord is telling me right now that you're playing with sin. There was a silence. What did he tell you? Doesn't matter. It's time for you to stop playing with sin. And for my astonishment, the voice on the other side said, I know that I'm not supposed this, but I just can't resist. I'm not going to tell you what the sin was. I know that I'm not supposed to do this, but I can't resist. That's a lie from the pits of hell. I was asking the Lord, how do I handle a situation like this? Because my desire is just to, in a holy way, cuss them out over the phone. You know, it's my first reaction. So I had to have help from God to learn how to deal with this. One thing I said, I'm not going to pray for you until you get your act together. Please pray for me. Have you ever thought about talking to you? Oh, no, I cannot tell my pets what's going on. Why not? I am so-and-so in the church. The Lord gave him 2 Peter 2:20. We're going to start with the New King James. What am I learning today on this scripture? You shall never say, pay attention, you shall never say, I cannot conquer this sin. Or for 2 Peter 2:20. You shall never say, I cannot conquer this sin. Amen? I just can't resist. Let's read it. For if after the hate of the world, through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome, the letter N. Tell anybody, I will never say, I can't overwin this sin. Put it in the New Living Translation. Watch this. When the people escape from the wickedness of the world by knowing our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and then get tangled up and enslaved by sin, they are worse off than before. Well, preacher, what does that mean? If Jesus Christ has set you free from something, did you know that when you were set free, it was not meant that you would never be tempted again? Did you know that? Let's say somebody has a problem with anger. Real bad anger, bad temper. You came to Christ, you set free. Do you know that does not mean that you will never be angry again? Doesn't mean that. So what's the difference then? When you don't know Christ, you are angry, you get angry, and you go out hurting people left and right. When you come to know Christ, your anger will be under the control of the Holy Ghost. Now, it is on you to administrate how much anger you get. What? Did you know that there's a Bible verse that says, be angry, but sin not. People stops right there. He goes on to say, do not let the sun go down upon your wrath. What I mean, you can be mad, like they say in the word, mad as hell. But by daybreak, by sundown, you got to let it go. If night comes and you're still angry, guess what? You're sinning. So he's saying here, when the people escape from all the mess that is out there in the world by getting to know Jesus, but then they decide to go back and get tangled up and enslaved again by sin, they're worse off now than what they were before. And why are they worse off? Well, did you remember that one time Jesus came into a town and this dude was demon-possessed? Jesus get out all the demons. And the Bible said that the demons went around looking for a place. You all remember that? And the demon couldn't find a place. The demon said, you know what? I'm going to go back where I was. Which means that once you're set free by God, the demons get out. And don't you ever dream that demons are going to give up on you. So what do I do? I'm scared. That you need to be saved. People that are saved don't get scared by or from with demons. They will come back, but when they come back, they're going to find the Holy Ghost in there. And you know what? They are not stupid to try to sit in where the Spirit of God is. Are you with me here? So what you're saying, preacher, I should never, this is the programming for this morning, I should never, ever say, I can't overcome this. And you fill out the blank. Are we together so far? I know that y'all don't get angry here. Y'all don't have this problem. Amen? Recently, I visited someone that has not been in fellowship for like 12 weeks. And when I was talking to this person, I said, what happened? What do you mean what happened? Like fellowship? You asked to become a member. You asked me to become a member. So there's something called accountability. Yes? I haven't seen you in 10, 11, 12 weeks. I'm so busy, preacher. I said, I don't care about that. When you came to become a member, I told you that you are accountable. And I'm going to get on your case. There's going to be time that you can make pick up the louse phone, say, preacher, pray for me because today I got to go to work or something. But when you disappear, you are out of the spiritual umbrella. And you are susceptible to every garbage out there. And this beloved saint looked at me and says, oh, preacher, I've been so tired. I'm working so hard that when church time comes, I can't get myself to go to church.
What?
I can't even cook. I can do nothing because I'm so tired. And I'm thinking, I said, well, it's interesting. You can't get yourself to go to church. That's right. You can't cook. That's right. You can do nothing. That's right. Can you go to work on Monday? Yes. Oh, that's interesting. I said, beloved, there's a problem here with your speech. You should never say, I can't get myself together to go to church. Well, I'm tired. I feel like to say, and dumb too. Why would you say this, preacher? Well, let's go to Philippians 4:13. What does he say? For I can do few things. I'm not denying the fact that you're going to feel tired. Are you with me here? Paul did not deny the fact that you felt tired. But you know what? When it comes to the things of God, If you have the desire and the proper mindset to do the will of God and the things of God, Jesus will give you the strength, not only to come to church, but to do everything else that you have to do. Why don't people do that? It's because they don't know their scriptures. And many of them don't know their God. I told you last week that faith depends very much on its object. The object of your faith will determine how much you're going to do. If you believe that Chevy is the best car ever made, you will never buy any other brand. If you believe that Ford is the best car ever made, you will never believe in any other brand. Why? Because you have a good knowledge and good experiences. When you have a good knowledge, you have a good experience, and you rely on that thing. When the knowledge of God is short, you're going to rely very little on God. The Bible says, I can do everything. The other verse says, all things through Christ who gives me strength. The Lord knows that's going to be the day that you're going to be beat up and tired. You know, at one point we were in the city and I had three jobs. There are 72 kids that are not mine, and they are coming for the meeting. We would go pick them up. Their dad is serving life in jail, life in prison. Mom is out high. Some of them are downtown on the corners. So these kids are on the streets. So we used to pick them up, bring them in, give them a hot plate of food twice, three times a week, and then teach them the word. And I'll tell you this. There were days that I didn't think I would make through that door. But I could always rely on that scripture. My Bible says, no, but I can do all things through Christ Jesus, who strengthens us. And then Jesus sometimes decides to mess up the whole thing. Once we finish, everybody's gone, all the kids are gone, the church folks stay in the Lord, said, I want a vigil. You gotta be kidding. I need a vision until midnight. Here we go. Literally, many times I threw myself on the floor. Cold carpet floor. And I'm laying down there praying and worshiping God. Sometimes we went until midnight. 1 o'clock. Sometimes 2 o'clock. And guess what? At 5 I got to go up to work. And we stayed. But when we decide to obey, I had 3 hours of sleep. And it looks like I had 20 hours of sleep. I woke up $1 million. Because Jesus Christ gave the strength to carry on. I want you to touch your neighbor and say, we will never say again, I can't do it. Put the new the message Bible there, brother. I'm curious. Whatever I have, whatever I am, I can make it through anything. My Lord, which a sweet verse, huh? Whatever I have, whatever I am, I can make it through anything in the one who makes me who I am. Reprogramming number four. Number four. How many times have we heard people coming telling us, I am worried. I am worried. I am confused. And I have had many people come to me and say, I want to read the Bible, but every time I read the Bible, I get confused. Have you ever heard somebody say that? Wrong statement. You should never, ever, ever declare that you're confused. Why? When you do that, you're denying your faith. If you are in fellowship with God, confusion is not on the menu. Confusion is not an option. Let me prove it to you. Let's go to 1 Corinthians. And then 14:33 afterwards. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we might know. We have the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God will give us the knowledge of all the stuff that has been given to us freely. I said freely. There's no reason for God's people to be in confusion. Watch the next scripture. 14:33. Let's read it. For God. Did I hear the word church in there? What does that mean? Church, you people, not supposed to be confused people. Because he is not the author of confusion. But your neighbor say, I'm not confused, neither are you. I have no confusion of mind. God's people are supposed to live in peace at all times. Are we together here? Reprogramming number 5. Recently, a saint came to me and said, "Preach, I need you to pray for me because I feel like I failed miserably in life." I said, "Beloved, you are confessing the wrong confession. You're not a failure. You are more than a conqueror." Let's go to Romans 8:37. Romans 8:37. Let's read it. Yet, in few things, we are through him who loves. I want you to tell your neighbor, we are conquerors. You're not a failure. I was checking in different places, why does Paul say that we are more than conquerors? And I tried to read different people, what they say. In my computer, all my computers, I have eSword. And this sword has about 50 different commentaries. And some heavy-duty guys are there. And while I'm going through this whole thing, I couldn't find nobody to give me an explanation why Paul says that we are more than conquerors. So I went to the Greek New Testament. And when I'm reading in Greek with the translation, each one of the words, the idea that comes in here is that the difference between the conqueror and the one that's more than conqueror is that the one that is conqueror, he conquers one time. The one that is more than a conqueror, it's overcoming all the time. It's the idea of consistency. You just not won one time and that's it. If you won one time and that's it, you're a conqueror. But when you are winning, when you are overcoming at all time, you're not like the fellow next door. You are more than a conqueror because you are conquering all the time. And this is why, beloved, there is no place in our lips to think even about saying that we are a failure. You're not a failure, more than conqueror. Many times people will say that they barely can make it because the pressures all around is about to crash them. I had a sister come to me recently and she said, "Preacher, please pray for me." What happened? Are you gonna die? Oh God, why you say that? I mean, you say pray for me. There must be something real serious. I think I'm about to lose my job. I said, "Amen." How could you say amen? Man, sometimes you're so heartless. I said, "Okay, show me how." I just told you I'm about to lose my job. And you say amen. I said, "Yes." How could you say amen? I'm going to be jobless. I said, "You got a lot to learn, sis. A lot to learn." When the God, are you a righteous person? Yes, I am. Are you walking in God's presence? Yes, I am. If God shuts that door, he's going to open a gate. Unless you want to still get blessings through a little door, hey, help yourself. But if God is closing that door, it's because that door is not big enough to let all the blessings God has for you to come through. So if he's closing that door, you better be right. That's a gate coming in. And the Bible says with so much blessings, there's not going to be room enough for you to keep it. She looked at me and said, "You certainly are crazy." Yes, I'm crazy about Jesus. Folks, I cannot allow, you cannot allow the pressures of the world to make your blood pressure to go high. Let me give you a scripture. John 16:33. And the pathetic thing is, something is not going good at work, or I think I'm going to lose my job. Good. Watch this. John 16:33. Let's read it. "These things I have spoken to you, that in me, in the world, but so what you're saying, Jesus? Jesus said, when things got tough around, get excited. What? How? What is wrong with you? How can people be excited when they have problems all over? Well, that's what Jesus said. Get happy. I'm about to lose my job. Did you get a notice saying that this is your last 30 days? No. Then shut up and get happy. You see? It's the programming that is wrong. Now, I have not yet found somebody that will say, "How are you? I'm blissfully on trial right now. But I praise my God." I have not met one yet. Except me one time. Somebody said, "How are you doing, preacher?" "I'm blissfully being tried. Hallelujah." He looked at him and said, "You're going to make it." I said, "Thanks." And I did make it. Jesus is saying that he's giving you the heads up. This thing that I've spoken to you. So that when the tough time in life comes, you may find peace in me. Why? Because when you came to Jesus, it did not mean that your problems were over. Did you get that? So much so that he says, in the world, you will have tribulation. A lot of people just abandon Christ. Well, I came to church. It seems like once I came to church, everything went upside down. I got more problems now than what I had before. Yes. What do you mean, yes? That's good. Are you nuts? How could that be good? Because you can learn to have peace in God in the middle of tough time. Now, this is a real sign. For me, it's very encouraging. When I see a saint that just came to Christ, when we were working among Hindu people, it was so beautiful. This Hindu person just came to Christ. And then tribulation, bam, 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 left and right. And they were happy all the time. This is saved. You know that's saved. Didn't Jesus say, you shall know them by? But those, when the pressure came in, they left church. Well, they were convinced, not converted. Folks, problems will come, Jesus said. And that should not lead you and I to lose faith, nor to lose hope. Why? If Jesus overcame the world, you and I will do too. Didn't Paul say for us to be imitators of Christ? So tell your neighbor, we will not be overwhelmed by the trials around us. We will find peace in Jesus Christ. And we will overcome. Brother, I'm kind of curious to see what the New Living Translation say in that scripture. I have told you all this so that you may have peace in me. Here on earth, you will have. Reach your neighbor saying, in sorrow time, take heart. Church, your people are not supposed to be down, folks. Christian life is beautiful. It is in those times of trials, it's in those times of tough time around us, when we run to Jesus, you can feel the embrace. And it feels so, so, so good. You almost want to be in trial all the time because it feels so good. Let's see the Message Bible on this thing, brother. I'm curious now. That's curiosity. I've told you all this so that, trust in me, you'll be. Isn't that something? Take heart. Huh? Things will be messed up more and more in this world. But you know what? Take heart. My Lord. Tell your neighbor, we will take heart in times of difficulty. One more, because the clock is against me. I will. Believe it or not, one of the greatest complaints, when we had the radio broadcast, which I'm planning to go back to the radio again, the Lord told me to go, and I have not been 100% obedient to go. One of the greatest amount of calls we got when we were on the radio was from people afraid. Do you know that there are Christian people to this day that are afraid to sleep with the lights off? Christian people afraid to walk under a ladder? I know right now two people that visit our congregation that they are afraid of the neighbors. And one of these persons say, they are wiretapping me. I said, sister, you need to be saved. Oh, I'm saved. I'm going to the Lutheran church. Da, 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 da. So what? Demons go to church too. Going to church don't make you saved. You don't understand. So no, I don't. I don't, because my God tells me in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, that I should never be overpowered by fear. 2 Timothy 1:7. Let's start with the New King James. I want to stop on this one here because fear has some very powerful elements in itself that can destroy your life. Let's read it first. For God has not given us, but let me start by saying, fear is faith acting on reverse. Fear is faith enacted and acting in reverse. F, fear, is faith, F for faith, E for enacted, A and acting, R in reverse. Fear is faith enacted and acting in reverse. When somebody thinks that the devil can catch up with them, you deny that the Spirit of God is in you and the power of the Spirit of God to beat up the devil. Actually, he will never do that. You're the one who's supposed to be that. It says, resist the devil. And what happened? And yet fear is faith enacted and acting in reverse. Here's the problem with fear. When the people are fearful, they feel powerless. Politicians know this, and they will exploit. When 9/11 came in, they jump in like a swarm of flies. And so many new laws have been put in place. So many new regulations put in place, and nobody said anything. What are you talking about? When you go to the airport and somebody come and touching your parts, if you are not under fear, you wouldn't have agreed for this thing 10 years ago. Are you with me here? So when you are fearful, you feel powerless, and therefore you are susceptible to all garbage that may come your way that will present a sense of security. So the problem with fear, it causes you to feel powerless. The next problem of fear is when you are fearful, it's like you feel neglected. Why didn't somebody defend me? Why wasn't my daddy here? Why wasn't mom around? My brother, what the church of people? And that causes a spirit of rejection to come in, which can ultimately drive you cuckoo. And this is what happened to these two saints out there in the city. They are taking cuckoo people medicine right now. What is the cuckoo people? Prozac. Whatever that thing is called. So what is this? It's just to calm you down. And one of these medicines, once you get into it, you can never get out again. Y'all know what I'm talking about? What's it called? Zyrtec or something like that? Y'all know what I'm talking about, right? There's some kind of pills that you take. All the so-called celebrities, on the old days they would be called movie stars, artists. Today they call them celebrity. What celebrity they do, I don't know. But before they go to talk before an audience, they drink that pill too. Zyrtec? There you go, all of them. And when they don't do it, they start shaking. Their hearts start pulsing. Isn't that right? Yeah. and they end up in a cuckoo house. When you are programmed in the right way, you will understand that God has not given you faith enacted and acted in reverse. It's the opposite. God has given you a spirit of power. What is the spirit of power? It's that spirit that when something fearful comes up, you're going to go and face the beast. What's up? What's going on here? You don't back off because you're afraid. In the opposite, you attack. Why? You have nothing to fear. God has given you a spirit of power. And you know, when the power is present, everything else melts. Watch this. If I shut down the power, when the power comes on, are you with me here? God gave you a spirit of power that will overpower fear. God also gave you a spirit of love, right from the beginning of our scripture here, that will overpower any feeling of abandonment. Best of all, God gave you a sound mind.
Amen.
What I mean? You have the mind of Christ, and Christ was not cuckoo. Well, I'm hearing things. Really? You better wake up. What do I do? Under my feet, Satan. You've got nothing in me. Get out. Plain and simple. When Peter allowed his lips to be used by the devil, what did Jesus said? Behind me, Satan. Plain and simple. Satan's not in front of you. He's not guiding you. He's behind you. Who's in front of you guiding you is Jesus Christ. You don't have to be afraid of anything because God gave you a spirit of power. Power will conquer fear. God gave you a spirit of love. Love will overcome and overpower abandonment. Sound mind will overpower cuckoo thoughts. Amen?
Amen.
So you're going to tell your neighbor, we will never say we are afraid.
We will never say we are afraid.
No fearful.
No fearful.
God gave us a spirit of power. Come on, third grader, tell your neighbor, God gave us a spirit of power.
God gave us a spirit of power.
Therefore, watch your language. Watch your statements. Watch your sentences. And here's a very popular among American people. And even the foreigners are getting here learning this garbage. I'm about to go crazy. Can I hear an amen here? You will never say again, I'm about to go crazy. Amen? Here's another favorite one. This job is driving me nuts. These children drive me off the wall. Huh? Absolutely not. You have a sound mind. Tell me, we have a sound mind.
We have a sound mind.
Therefore, we will not accept dementia. You're not listening. We have a sound mind. Therefore, we will not accept dementia. No Alzheimer's. In the name of Jesus. Can you put in there? Let me see what the New Living Translation said. I'm curious. Today was very holy, so I didn't check the other translation. For God has not given us a spirit of fear and but of power, love. No timidity around us. Put the Message Bible there. I like this. What? God doesn't want us to be shy with his gifts, but be bold and loving and sensible. A little off the wall here, but it's all right. They have the right to have one crazy. Folks, be careful on what you say. Be careful with your statements. When you speak words into the air, it carries power in itself. And please, don't you ever, ever, ever dare to say, the devil is talking to me. Did you hear what I said? Rather, the devil has been messing up with my mind. Then you need to be delivered. John 10 says, my sheep knows my voice. They will not know the voice of the strangers. Watch out what you say. This is reprogramming time in our congregation. Because what is about to happen is much bigger than what we are expecting. Amen? And I bless God for what God is doing in the midst of us. Would you bow your head? Father God, we thank you so much. We thank you so much for your word. And Lord, help us. Discipline ourselves in everything, especially in what we say. Sometimes because we spend so much time in front of the computer or the TV on network, social network, that eventually bit by bit we start picking up the garbage that is out there. And in doing so, we forfeit your word. Holy Spirit, forgive us for being so lousy at times. We have made a decision that we want to continue to be godly, and we are yours, and that will never change. Give us the strength to say no to sin and to stand on your word. In the name of Jesus. Let's bless the Lord with an offering. I tell you, those of you who are not here on Sunday, you don't know what you missed. Sunday night. It was a treat. And we are working. Perhaps you'll come back for inauguration. It was awesome. I liked it. I don't have people to collect offering today, you come up front here. Just bring your offering to the Lord. I need you to stretch your hands toward this offering. Father God, we thank you for every dollar that came tonight, this morning rather. May you send blessings and prosperity upon your people. Bless your people, Lord, according to your generosity. Bless your people so much that you have to open new bank accounts to spread out the wealth you're going to send their way. In the wonderful name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Well, before we finish, I would like to say quickly, tomorrow night you're going to be back again studying the reflections of Christ in you. Will be something similar to this. Today we're talking about re-educating ourselves. Tomorrow we're going to be talking about things that's supposed to be emanating from you. This is why we're talking about the reflections of Christ in you. This coming Sunday, I told you I'm ready to speak on miracles. I'm kind of aching to do that. But this morning I was talking to Jesus. I have been told by the Lord I have to give the folks on Sunday morning, the Sunday morning comers, an instruction about faith. So we will have a little bit of what we studied here. And I'm going to be talking about little faith, the misconception about little faith. Especially that Christian people think that they can have a little faith. And you know, the bad news is, little faith is not for Christians. It's actually called unbelief. So this coming Sunday, we're going to be talking about faith. I don't know what I'm going to be talking about. I've been given the instruction, and I've been given few topics to add to the sermon, but I don't know yet how the whole thing is going to come out. But I've been struck to talk about faith this coming Sunday morning. So we wish to have all of you here. On the second week of March, on the 12th, 10:30, Pastor Thurman Scrivener will be with us again. What a week of healing school. And I know that some of you don't like Thurman because he will just throw in your face, you have a garbage gospel. You know, I had people say, I don't like this guy. That's good. What do you mean it's good? If you would be so liking him, something would be wrong. Excuse me? Yeah. And those were the folks that thinks that when you're married and then you get a little bent out of shape, you can dump the spouse and shop for a younger one and things like this. And those are the very same people that want to be in front of the church as leader. And I have said time and over again, no, you're not going to make it. But some of you may have heard it and just kind of brush Thurman off. One of the things we have to talk from this point forth is there's going to be people coming to share with us that we have some nuts, thoughts. And you and I, as mature Christian, as we have been studying on Sunday, we have to have discernment. You know, what is good, we keep. What's not, you know, toss it out. I'm doing my part. I have had at least six of these cuckoo preachers waiting to come to share. And I said, no, I can't have you. I'm not. First, I go very nice, politely, no, at this moment, I'm not taking. I'm not somebody. They keep pushing. I say, right now I can't do that. But da 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 da. Right now we're not doing it. And then finally they press the button. What is it that you have against me? So because you preach some nonsense and we're not going to take it. And that's when it's kind of an eye-opening for them. Well, why did you say that? I had a preacher that came here. The first day that this preacher preached, on Tuesday morning, his offering was $25. And we had about 50 people here. That gives you an idea. Well, the next day, his offer was like $75, Wednesday night. I had to pay 3 nights of hotel for him. And he's very picky. He doesn't eat good food, like the one Marshall Cook. He has to go to Mediterranean food restaurant, or he has to go to exotic place. He knows some place over in the mall, a security mall. So by the time I added up this fellow's expenses here, I was on $600 in expenses with this blessed preacher. Then his offer was like $100. So I showed him the paper that Brother Harry gave me.
What?
Yep. So I gave him an extra $200. He was upset. And he looks at me and said, man, I had a bill to pay tomorrow. I was hoping that you would give me a better offering. That was it. That was it. Since then, he has called every single time he's passing through going to Delaware. Calls, can I come and share and pick up a check? I said, no. I tell straight, what is your problem with me? I said, you're boring. I mean, the last time you were here should be a clue. $25 in a service, come on, man. What is it that you people has against me? I said, we don't want the blah, blah, blah. If you're coming here, come like Paul did. I came to you in word and in power and demonstration of the Holy Ghost. When you do that, people will take care of you. Oh, miracle. I can do miracle.